half of the marriages in our nation, those individuals never really committed to each other. They remained very uncommitted. Now, I know you probably know this, but let me remind you. The body of Christ, us, the church, throughout the Bible, we are referenced as the bride of Christ. You know, we are set to be married to Jesus Christ. And the sad part is that the church today is handling that relationship a lot like we handle our marriages in our nation today. You know, we like the fact that we chose Jesus, but we don't really want to commit all the way. We lack in commitment. Choice versus commitment. But what's the difference? Well, the difference is that in a choice, people can and do walk away all the time. People make choices all the time and they walk away from them. But commitment, real, honest, true commitment, you don't walk away from that. It's not something that you just get up and leave. There's something very different about commitment versus choice. And this morning, I want to talk to you about commitment. I want to focus this morning on what it means to be truly committed. All right. To help in our conversation this morning, I'd ask you to open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. As you find your way there and as the pages continue turning, let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for the wonderful time of praise and worship that you've already given us. And God, now, as just as Aaron spoke, we choose now to continue worshiping you in the study of your word. Lord, I have asked this morning that your word speak strongly to each heart in this room. Father, I pray that you make our hearts ready to receive all the truth that you have for us today. And Lord, for myself, I ask that you will just place me firmly behind your cross. That people do not see a man, Lord, but that they see you. Father, I give you all honor and all glory for all work that you will accomplish today. It's yours, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 12, are you there? Starting in verse 1, let's read together here. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You know, in this passage from the book of Romans, verses 1 through 8, chapter 12, in this passage, the Holy Spirit is outlining for us at least three things, at least three types of commitment that a follower of Christ is called to make. The first commitment addressed in this passage is also the most important, I believe. Verses 1 and 2 speak about the absolute personal commitment that we are called to make to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the first one, and guess what? It's also the most important. It all starts right there. And before I go any further, let me just tell you guys, this portion of Scripture is not easy. You've probably heard parts of it time and time again, but this is not easy. Okay, this passage, it talks about truth that is very clear. It makes it very clear, but it's also very, very challenging. Okay, this passage is not for the faint of heart. Okay, it's not for the unsure. And I can tell you that even as I prepared this week, there was a part of me, there was a part of my flesh that kept saying, Tim, you better water this down some. You know, you better make it easier. Otherwise, you're going to lose them. You know, you're going to be stepping on people's toes. Tim, you better cool it down some. And I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit, though, that lives within me, won't allow me to do that. All right? I want to tell you this morning, this is not easy. This is challenging. All right? It's a very, very challenging portion of God's Word. Our focus today is commitment, as I told you. And this scripture shows us the absolute commitment that's required in the Christian life. Absolute. All right? Again, in verse 1, Paul said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Paul says that we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay? Now, as Paul was talking to the church in Rome thousands of years ago, but today the Holy Spirit is still saying the same thing to us today. He is still speaking the same words of truth to us today. He is still urging us today to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. In that time that Paul was talking, the temple worship, okay, animals would be brought to the priest. They were offered to the priest, and they were killed and burnt upon the altar. Okay, and the word says now that we likewise ought to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Okay, now let me stop for a moment and say this. There's something I can guarantee you. All right, there's a lot of things I don't know completely. I'll be the first to admit that. But there's one thing I can guarantee you, that if you went to any of those animals back 2,000 years ago and you asked them, they would tell you that there is no such thing as partial sacrifice. Okay? For that animal, it's all or nothing. All right? Today, Christian, let me assure you, there is no such thing as partial commitment. You are either committed to Jesus or you're not. There's nowhere in between. And what does that look like? What does commitment to Jesus Christ, what does commitment to the Son of God, what does that look like? I want to share with you what it looks like. When you commit yourself, when we commit ourselves on a personal level to Jesus Christ, it means that we have yielded ourselves completely to Him. When we commit ourselves to God, it means that we surrender to God every single day. When you choose to commit completely to Jesus Christ, it means that you have abandoned everything about yourself. It means that you have entrusted everything about who you are and that you have placed your very life at His disposal. That's asking a lot. But that's commitment. That's the kind of commitment that we are called to make. Personal commitment, placing all of ourselves into the hands of Jesus, means that you're giving Him all your dreams. You're giving Him all your hopes and all your joy and all your comfort. But you're also giving Him all your fear. And you're giving Him all your anxiety. You're saying, Lord, it's all yours. I couldn't handle it when I had it. Okay? It's yours, God. I'm completely committed to who you are. Paul went on in verse 2 to say, do not conform. Paul says now, talking to us now, he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And in this small little piece of passage here, Paul is creating this great contrast. Okay, he's drawing this great distinction, okay, between an uncommitted follower, or what I would like to just call a fan of Jesus. You know, I mean, I kind of like him. Okay, he's a good guy. I don't mind being on his side. I'm just a fan, though. All right, between an uncommitted follower of Jesus, he's drawing a distinction between that and a committed follower of Christ. And it's worlds of difference. All right? Paul says, do not conform. Now take your pen there and just draw a line underneath that word conform. All right, circle it. Next to it, you can write these words, shape, fashion. Okay, Paul's saying, do not allow yourself to be shaped or fashioned or conformed to the image of the world any longer. And it happens all the time, doesn't it? You see people who are kind of trying to ride the fence, and what do? Well, whatever the world says is important, that's important. Whatever the world says to do, that's what I got to do. Whatever the world's priority is, that's my priority. That's being conformed to the world, but you're told to do something different. You're told not to conform, not to conform, but instead to be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I would tell you to underline it and write to the, next to that word metamorphosis, but that's a big word, okay? You may not have room in your margin there. But that's what it means. That's where we get our word metamorphosis from. It's the same thing as being transformed. And it's not like a superficial, just surface level change. A metamorphosis is a change from the inside out. It's changing everything about who you are. Transforming you from the center of your being all the way to the out. All the way to the extremities. Changing everything about who you are. Being wonderfully and completely remade by God. Sounds good, doesn't it? Don't be conformed. Don't do that anymore. Don't line up with what the world tells you you need to do. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Excuse me. The personal choice that we all make to follow Jesus Christ, that personal commitment, guys, it is the most important, but it's only the first step. It's only step number one in this grand journey that he has laid out for us. It's only the first step. For anyone who's interested in more, for anyone who's interested in living a fearless life, not being afraid of what tomorrow brings, okay? For anyone who wants to live a fearless life, or who wants to dwell in the depths of God's just incredible mysteries, the next step is commitment. Yes, a choice, yes. Choose Jesus Christ, yes. Personal commitment, it's the first and most important. But there's more. There's so much more. Paul continues in verse 3 and he tells us about some of it. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." This commitment thing, I'm telling you, if you haven't figured it out yet, it's a lot bigger than you might have thought. Okay, it starts with personal commitment, yes, but starting in verse 3, Paul moves past that. And he begins to address commitment to the body of Christ. Commitment to the church. Friend, I want to tell you something. One of the most powerful deceptions that Satan can sell you on, one of the most damaging lies that he can feed you is that you can do this all on your own. That you can do it all on your own. Have you ever met people who have bought into that? Have you met them? Is it you? You don't have to tell me. But guys, you know what I'm talking about. People who say, "I believe in God, but I just don't believe in the church." You know? I believe in God, I just don't do the organized religion thing. Okay, well, let me tell you, that might sound reasonable. It might sound reasonable, but guess what? It's entirely not biblical. It's 100% not biblical. All right, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, they say this: "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Do you hear anywhere in there where it says church is not important? No. Okay, nowhere in there. He says instead to spur one another on, to encourage people, and all the more as the day is approaching. You can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. All right? no matter what you have come up to believe, or no matter what kind of garbage is getting peddled into your ears, you need the body of Christ. And the body of Christ needs you. Too many of God's people are choosing to simply do church and not commit to church. There's far too many. You know, it's fun, it's exciting, it's interesting. But then what happens? Something comes up. There's a disagreement, some kind of conflict. And what happens? They walk away. They walk away. Let me tell you something. I told you this earlier. Choice. People walk away from choices all the time. People just choose to do church all the time. You don't walk away from commitment. Okay? Commit to your church. In the good times, commit to your church in the bad times. Okay? Guess what? You're going to have both. How do I know that? Because a church is full of, as my brother would tell me, a bunch of bozos. Okay? We're a bunch of bozos on the back of the bus. And you know what? That's every church. Okay? We're all built the same way with a bunch of broken people. We're going to have issues. All right? But we need to be committed. Committed to the body of Christ. Committed to your church. Now, I want to clarify something about that. Okay? I am not this morning talking about the church on TV. I'm talking to you this morning about your local body of Christ, your local fellowship that you are in. I'm not talking about even the civic organization that many churches have become. All right, what I'm talking about is the blood-bought, baptized, virtuous bride of Christ that we are called to be. All right, I'm not talking this morning about those groups who would deny the Trinity, or those organizations that embrace abomination, or that they accept sin, or they compromise God's word and call themselves a church, all the while ignoring every principle that the Word of God teaches. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the church that Jesus Christ built and bought with His own blood. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so please don't be confused. Commit to your church. Commit to the body of Christ. The results will amaze you. Let me tell you something. You guys ever remember reading about the church in Jerusalem? You know, the book of Acts? Have you ever read it? What an amazing church. What an awesome church. Was it that they were just a bunch of perfect people? No. No. Man, no. You know, they had a bunch of bozos just like us. Okay? But in that church, the blind got sight. In that church, the lame got up and walked. In that church, in one day, 3,000 people were saved and baptized. That's a powerful church. That's an awesome church. How did it happen? What was the difference? You know, it wasn't a wealthy church. Let me tell you something. All throughout Paul's missions, he was constantly gathering funds and money for the church in Jerusalem because they were starving to death. It wasn't wealthy. It wasn't the popular church even, where all the in people went. Most of the church members in Jerusalem were constantly being thrown into jail. They didn't even have a big building. You know, they didn't have the really nice building with the air conditioning and the seats. That church met in people's homes. They fellowshipped and shared with each other in their living rooms. I mean, there was nothing about that church that today people would say makes it a great church. Okay? But that church had something that God says makes it powerful and effective. They had commitment. They had unwavering and uncompromising commitment. They were committed on a personal level to God, and they were committed to their fellow believers. They were committed to their church family. And with that commitment, with those things in place, guess what? The blessings and the power of God, they flowed. They flowed freely. Friends, today, God is still looking. He's still looking for a church that will commit to Him and commit to each other. He still is looking for a church that He can pour out His grace and His mercies and His blessings and His power. He's looking for a church He can pour all those things upon. I don't know about you, but I desperately want to be part of that church. I desperately want to be part of a church where people stand back and go, wow, did you see what God did? Did you see what God did in that church? I mean, I want to be that church like my brother Jerry was telling me about, you know, where when you know somebody's sick, you send them there because those people believe in the power of God and they believe in the power of prayer. I want to be that church. I want to be that church that's committed. But how? How do we do that? Well, it starts with surrender. It starts with willingness. And all of it's wrapped up in commitment. Commitment to your personal commitment to Christ, but also your commitment to the body of Christ. Your commitment to each other, to this family that we are, to the church. Now, I want to take that thought a little bit further. And I want to conclude this morning with one last commitment. All right. When those doors open up, all right, every Sunday, Wednesday, throughout the week, when those doors open up and God brings in the hopeless and God brings in the broken and God brings in the lost and the dying, okay, what are we going to do? Some of us are going to hide. You know, but that's not what we're called to do, are we? What are we going to do? We're going to serve. We're going to serve them. Okay? And that requires commitment as well. The natural course of commitment in the life of a believer leads them from personal commitment to a commitment to the body of Christ and finally to a commitment to ministry. A commitment to serve. We did something kind of interesting the other night at my home. We looked in this church, just this church, at all the ministries that this church has. You know how many there were? There were over 30. Over 30 ministries in this little bitty country podunk church. You know? 30 ministries. That's amazing. That's amazing. But it was also very sad. Because when you started looking at who was involved, at where the hands were, it was just a few people. Just a couple folks involved in all sorts of ministries. But just a few people. Church, can we change that in 2011? Can we? I mean, it's not up to me. I say yes. But can we change in 2011 our commitment to ministry? Can we decide that we're going to be committed to serving? You know, I'm going to challenge those ministry leaders this year. I'm going to challenge them to open up their hearts and to open up their ministries to this church. But starting today, I'm going to challenge you as well. I'm going to challenge each and every one of you as well to get involved. To be involved. To be a part of the work that God is doing in your church. To get involved. You know, some people today, though, they're saying, Tim, you don't know me. I can't sing. I can't preach. I can't teach. And kids don't even like me. Maybe. Maybe. But let me remind you of something. The greatest ability that anyone in this room has, your greatest ability, you know what it is? Availability. Availability. That is your greatest ability. I'm going to challenge you starting today. I don't want you to wait to be asked. I want you to volunteer. I want you to go to those individuals who you see trying so hard to serve and say, hey, how can I help? I'm here. How can I help? Most of those ministries already have leaders. But all of those ministries need people who are willing to help. They need people who want to serve. Guess what? It's not only important to the ministry, it's important to you. It's important for your walk to be committed to service, to be committed to ministry. Will you stand with me this morning? Will you do something for me this morning? Will you just bow your heads and close your eyes? I know that's what we do when we pray, but I want you to close your eyes and bow your head. because I don't want you to be concerned about anything else going on. And just listen to what the Holy Spirit would share with you. Our word for today, our focus today, has been commitment. First and foremost, it is a personal commitment to the Son of God. It's a personal commitment to the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Now, I know today there's probably people in here who they've been meaning to, waiting to, wanting to, hoping to, aiming to. Brother, sister, today is the day. Today is the day to make that commitment. God is calling you today. Answer Him. Answer Him and ask Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior. This morning, you have already asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, but you know that you have not committed to Him, then now is the time to start that as well. You need today to surrender. You need to give up. You need to turn over everything about you, put the keys of your life firmly into His hands. It's time to get off the sidelines and get into the game. You want to get involved this morning? You want to be part of something? Commit this morning to the body of Christ. Commit this morning to ministry. I can assure you that you will be most welcome. Friends, my heart this morning is simple. It's to be a church that God will bless. It's to be a group of believers that God's Spirit will pour out upon. It's to be a light in this community where the power of God is clearly seen. It's to be that church that we are called to be. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for Your word. Father, I ask now that You will, that Your word will permeate through our hearts. Lord, and that where, whatever it finds, Lord, wherever we are, that Father, this morning You will move us to action. Father, for that soul this morning who is lost. Father, for that man or that woman this morning who does not know, who has never made a commitment to a personal relationship with Your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, I pray that today that change. I pray that today Your Holy Spirit will come upon that individual and let them know that today is the day of salvation. Lord, for the hearts in this room today that they're just content with sitting on the side. They're content with just doing church, but never wanting to commit. Father, show us the error in our ways. Lord, show us the truth that our journey will be stale. It will be pointless. It will have no power and no meaning until we decide to commit. Lord, help us to do that today. Lord, for the individuals this morning that You have already brought into these doors, Lord, for those who are sick, those who are hurt, Lord, for those who are broken, Father, I pray that You will allow them to see the love of God this morning in the people of God. Lord, that they will be able to clearly see the hope of God this morning in the lives of Your children. Lord, let them know that we are here to serve, that we are here to pray with them, Lord, that we want to care for them. God, give them the strength just to ask. And then give us the strength and the courage to serve. We ask all these things, Father, in the name of Your Son, Your only begotten Son, Your Son who You gave to us, who You sent to this place to die in our place for our sins. Father, help us to see that today. Help us to see that we have no hope without the cross. Lord, that we can have no joy without the blood. Lord, we pray this morning in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. As every head remains bowed, every eye still closed.